A big ratings agency escapes fraud charges.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. No fraud charges in a case against Moody's Investor Services. The Securities and Exchange Commission says it will not go after the ratings agency for inflated ratings it gave to some European debt right before the financial crisis. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has the story from New York.
Regulators aren't bringing charges against Moody's because the activity in question took place in Europe. It involves Moody's response to a computer glitch, a big one, in which top ratings were given to investments that were, well, not so amazing after all. The SEC says when Moody's discovered the glitch, it didn't fix the underlying ratings for a year because it was worried for its reputation. The story is a familiar one in the ratings industry, which has largely escaped punishment for its role in the financial crisis.
If I were running a large rating agency, the sweat would have dried from my brow by now, and I'd be going forward.
Peter Hahn teaches corporate finance at the Cass Business School.
The rating agencies are another version of sort of too big to fail. So here you've got organizations that seem to have admitted huge lapses, but yet remain and have market power.
In other words, the ratings agencies are too important to the system. Regulators have yet to bring civil charges against any of the major raters, and that recent financial overhaul passed by Congress wasn't much of an overhaul for Moody's and its competitors. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
There are reports Blockbuster could file for bankruptcy in the next month. That could help the video store chain get out of some leases. Analysts say Blockbuster might end up closing hundreds of stores. And that got us wondering, you know, in these days of videos in the mail and at the grocery store and on demand, how is it that the video store even exists? Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Blockbuster seems to be a bit of a relic from another age.
A large store like a Blockbuster has become a dinosaur.
Arvind Bhatia is an analyst with Stern Agee. He says consumers want convenience. They don't want to drive to Blockbuster. The grocery store is easier.
So they would just rather pick it up from a Redbox kiosk or just have it come to them at home via mail.
So why hasn't Blockbuster gone the way of the T-Rex yet? Michael Pachter is an analyst with Wedbush Securities. He says there's still something fun about discovering movies at the video store.
You walk around the perimeter of the store and you say, oh my goodness, you know, Sylvester Stallone made another movie. Maybe I'll rent it. I actually like that experience, and a lot of consumers do.
But neither Pachter or Bhatia think the pleasure of finding a new Stallone film will be enough to save Blockbuster stores in the long run. DVDs will, soon enough, they predict, wind up in the pile of extinct technology. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And beyond Blockbuster, let's do the numbers. Stocks have gained a strong 1% or so today in both Europe and Asia. We learned that Chinese manufacturing growth picked up and Australia's economy expanded at its quickest pace in 3 years. Wall Street has wrapped up its worst August since 2001. Both the Dow Industrials and the broader S&P 500 dropped more than 4% over the month of August. Yesterday, though, the Dow managed a 5-point gain to 10,014.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Time Warner Cable has doubled the fee it charges customers for not listing their phone number in a phone book. You heard that right. Time Warner has doubled the fee it charges for not doing something. Here to stop my head from spinning is Los Angeles Times personal finance columnist David Lazarus. Hello.
Good morning.
Why are we being charged for nothing?
Well, this is a beautiful thing, isn't it? They are charging you not to put your name in the phone book or not to give your name out for directory assistance. And then even better, because that's just a few taps on a keyboard. You know, you're giving your preference and then it's done. But then they charge you on a recurring basis, which makes no sense whatsoever.
A recurring basis because they're continuing to not do anything. So you're getting charged again.
And that's exactly what Time Warner Cable told me when I said, how can this be a recurring fee? And they said, well, we're giving you this service throughout the month. That is the service of them not doing something as they perpetually not do that thing for you. Well, of course, they can keep charging you for not doing it.
Some of us have heard about a fee for an unlisted number. The idea for phone companies is they want their phone book to get used, so, you know, it's more valuable to advertisers if you list your phone number. But Time Warner doesn't publish phone books.
No, they don't. In fact, they contract with a rival telecom company, Sprint, to take all of their phone customers, compile them together, and then give them to another phone company, which dominates a particular market, AT&T or Verizon, and put it in their directory. So, just to recap, this is a fee to not put your name in a phone book that they don't have.
Now, to be fair, David, if my having an unpublished number, whoever's published, not publishing it, if that's a value to me, shouldn't I pay for it or go somewhere else?
I would say no, and a number of lawmakers agree with me, because this is a privacy question, first and foremost. You are making this decision to protect your privacy. Why should you have to pay extra for that? Moreover, in the age of blogging, when virtually anybody can be considered a minor celebrity, the notion that you now have to pay to protect yourself from people calling you up day and night, "Oh, dude, I read your blog," that is ridiculous. I talked to a state lawmaker in California, Fran Pavley, who tried to pass legislation that would prevent these fees on privacy grounds. She said the telecom companies, the phone companies, the cable companies fought her tooth and nail to protect this revenue stream, and she had to back off from her bill.
He never returns my calls. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair's memoir goes on sale today, debuting at number one on Amazon's British bestseller list, though only number 180 in the U.S. He will sign copies at a London bookstore, no more than two books per customer, to discourage autograph farming, where people collect signed books and sell them on eBay. And one more financial angle here. A group that accuses Blair of being a war criminal is offering a $45,000 bounty to anyone who shows up at the book signing and makes a citizen's arrest. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Download our Midday Update podcast at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.